Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons & Dragons podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Junior, we take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure full of friendship, adventure, and excitement using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids. This is meant to be relatable and enjoyable. So let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light, I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hi, I'm Robin, and welcome to the latest episode of Tavern Tales Junior. I'm playing Sasha Kikian, a wizard tabaxi whose alignment is lawfully good. Sasha's favorite food is catnip.
Hello, my name is Alex, and I play the role of Chris Tuffer, a dark elf thief. Another thing about Chris is that his favorite color is orange.
Hello, my name is Savannah, and I play the role of DJ Ashard along a purple dragonborn who is a fighter.
What kind of fighter is she?
A sword fighter?
Yes. She's also called a champion. There you go. You can write that on your character sheet if you'd like. That's the subclass of fighter that you're playing.
My name is Will, and I play the role of Flash. He is an Eldritch Knight, and a good thing to know about Flash is that he has a magic backpack, but can also give him anything he wants.
Any pretty much reasonable item that he needs, yes. He just reaches into his backpack and pulls it out. Yet another carrot.
He just puts the sword in, and then it disappears. Everything just disappears.
So kind of like a bag of holding.
Well, that's convenient. That means that you can never starve because you can just pull out an infinite number of sandwiches.
Yeah, pretty much. Seems like he can. And who else is at the table?
Hello, my name is Caitlin, and I play the part of Vulpina. She is a tabaxi ranger, and Vulpina has a pet jaguar named Maya that can go into her hook-shaped necklace.
Wow. I am so excited to hear more and learn more about Vulpina and Maya and how they are connected to the group. We will now begin the adventure. Let's sink down.
Whoa.
Hold on. Yeah, okay, that's cool. Let's sink down out of our chairs into the floor. Let's sink through the floor and into the earth and fall out of this world into the world of our imagination. Specifically, the world of Faerun, where dungeons exist for adventurers to fight, for dragons flying high in the sky, where a wheel of griffins flies through the air in V formation, landing in a swamp-like forest somewhere in the distance.
And it's about lunchtime.
Sure, it's about lunchtime on the surface world, but we're falling through the surface world of Faerun into rocks, passing by fossils and a whole bunch of, and there's a patch of oil under the ground, and as we sink ever further, we fall into a cavern lit by a glowing column that shows that it is also right about lunchtime. In the city of Menzoberranzan, the home of the feared and fearing dark elves. And specifically in Menzoberranzan, we zoom in on the home of the Gouldwicks. The front door is broken. There is a bunch of combat and cries for help as the Gouldwick family guards rush out of the building towards their nearby stables as a party of adventurers is attempting to break in and free
the farmer. Soren.
For the third time, that's what's happening right now. Who are these adventurers?
Sasha.
Chris.
DJ.
Flash.
Vulpina.
And Georgington.
And don't forget Isaac, but left the party.
You still remember Isaac?
I have no idea who you're talking about. I'm very confused right now.
I am too.
In the first episode of Tavern Tales Jr., DJ, Sasha, and Flash were put in a group along with Georgington and Isaac. And so we traveled out. And then, once we met a group of goblin bandits, we had killed most of them, but left one survivor to bring back to the Lord's own main base of operation. Azam Prisoner.
Yep, and Isaac, that was the unrecorded episode of Tavern Tales Jr.
So basically, Isaac left us.
He's still in the Lord's own, though. You might encounter him later. Now we know who you guys are. What are you doing here?
We are here on a mission to save our friends and also to ask for help in the fight against Ashardalon.
Okay, and?
To get the Golden Shroud.
Which is the Tuffer family heirloom?
Yep.
So we know the who, we know what, and now, Caitlin, where are you guys?
At the stable.
At the stables. So I have to do a slight change. I showed you guys the wrong picture last game.
Oh, phew. They're not actually that monstrous. Ooh. But maybe they're more. Who knows?
They're not that, but they could be something else.
I hope they're at least tames, that we can walk through them. Because personally, I don't really want to fight like through a bunch of things.
I'd rather fight them in their stables.
Well, I mean, and if they did attack, it's not like it would be their fault. They're just wild. Like, this is their territory to them.
Yeah.
If they're, like, territorial or something. So they were just trying to kick us off their ground in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Then why would Sauron, Arabelle's dad, be allowed in there? Wouldn't they just kick him too?
I have no idea.
Good point. But, I mean, we're running. Maybe you have to be, like, careful. I mean, we're sprinting at this stable full speed. I'm pretty sure weapons drawn as well.
Oh, my gosh. That is weird.
Okay, are you ready to see what is actually inside the stables?
Yes. Yeah.
They are these large. They're about the same size as you guys are.
Oh, my gosh.
They move around on 8 legs. They are white. And they've got these horrible looking mouths and 2 gigantic pinchers.
That is so creepy.
These are called cave fishers.
Cave?
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I think he's creepy.
He looks kind of like a scorpion.
Yes, it definitely looks a lot like a scorpion. A white giant scorpion. Picture a scorpion the size of you crawling around on the ground. And
ew.
You can see them inside the stable.
I'm pretty sure that they won't attack, though, because, I mean, if they have a slave working in there, they're probably not hostile.
So you know that there were 4 guards, 4 drow guards, that rushed into the stables as soon as you guys arrived. And just at the end of the last game session, Sasha, Kiki, and charged forward into the stables, which we may back up, or is that still going to happen?
I pause and be like, okay, guys. I'm about to rush in, and then I'm like, wait. What does everyone else want to do?
I want to stay in the stables and try to get him out.
Or a different idea, because, you know, Chris is sneaky. If you guys were able to create, like, a distraction or something, I might be able to just sneak in the back, grab the farmer, and then get out of there.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, we have a ranger, we have a magic person, we have a DJ, and we have a Flash.
I could get Maya to make a distraction.
Who all is going to be part of the distraction and who is all going to be part of the extraction? Who will distract and who's going to go get the farmer to try to save him?
I'm going to be part of the distraction. I have a few spells that might work. I have, like, useful stuff in not these situations, but I have Chromatic Orb. I could do, like, a lightning strike or something, and then out of the lightning strike, Maya could run in or something.
I think that's a good idea. I like that.
And I'm going to be at the extraction.
Or you could fire, like, a chromatic orb at the wall, because they'd probably see that and walk over to go check it out.
That'd be reasonable.
I mean, DJ could run near the entrance to this table screaming. I mean, that would probably work fine, too. Or Flash, like, that would probably get their attention, wouldn't it?
Or I could just use shocking grasp on the wall to make it electric. And they might try to fix that.
So we all know that Chris is going to sneak around the back and try to find a way to rescue the farmer. Who else is sneaking with him? Both of you?
We're going to do the distraction.
Yeah.
Because in case they do see us, I can help fight them off, and also I'm skeleton stealth.
So both of our fighters are going to go on the sneak mission, and they're going to leave the ranger, the paladin, and the magic user to be the distraction?
Actually, I'm going to distract with them.
Okay. We're going to have the two of you go, and we're going to have the rest of the distraction party do the distraction. All right. Sneaky Chris and Silent Flash slip off to the side. Well, then if that's what we're going to do, you guys can make your stealth checks right now, please. And what'd you get?
28.
So you rolled a natural 18?
14.
Excellent. 14 plus your stealth check. I don't know if you're skilled in stealth or not.
He has a 6 next to it.
So that's probably a 20 for you and a 28 for you. You guys, even the rest of the party doesn't know where you went.
Where did they go?
Everyone in the party is talking about doing the distraction. And while they're talking, Chris and Flash disappear. And you're like, where did they go?
Oh, they probably like to go do their thing. Okay, let's start the distraction.
Okay.
Okay.
It's time. Chromatic orb!
So what's going to happen is what I kind of want to do is... You can help me on this, Volpina.
Okay.
So I want Maya to be positioned behind. I'm going to have a lightning of chromatic orb strike. And then it's going to... Like, there's going to be two on either side of Maya. Maya's going to rush through and it's going to be like, boom, boom! And then she's going to run in and, like, maybe, like, DJ could ride her back or something.
Oh, what? I just got, like, a hilarious idea. What if Maya ran in there and, like, started dancing?
Yes, please.
Maya just ran in and started doing the worm. It's just
but we're not doing that.
She might die.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
The awful-looking cave fishers and the guards in there might attack her no matter what silly thing she's doing. What do you think? Do you think that they would attack her or no?
Actually, but it's like a weird distraction.
So because DJ's staying back, maybe it's a better idea that DJ runs in, because I mean...
Does anybody have to run in? I mean, it sounded like you were going to cast Chromatic Orb at something. What were you casting Chromatic Orb at?
Well, I was looking for feedback because what I wanted to do is have Maya run in between two Chromatic Orbs.
The Chromatic Orb goes too fast for Maya to run in between the casting of two Chromatic Orbs. And when you cast Chromatic Orb, you have to have a target that you're aiming at. So what would you like to do?
Fudge. Okay. Well, do we have any other ideas?
Probably Sasha could, like, run screaming.
No. Okay, Sav, do you have any ideas?
No.
Caitlin?
I definitely think that I should get Maya to get out there and cause...
Yeah, but I really want to do something with my magic. I'm sorry, I just don't know what to do.
Okay, well, you guys have to talk. Discuss as a group to figure out what you're going to do to create a distraction.
I could try and use my crossbow and shoot it at the door to make them open the door. And then we could have Maya run around or something.
I'm thinking that maybe you guys can make the enemies look away. And then I can get Maya to suddenly roar to create a distraction.
That's a really good idea. And maybe I could you know, do like some like fire bolts or something behind, like to cause like,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a super good idea.
And then we could have DJ maybe fire a few arrows randomly.
I'll try and hit the door to see if they can come out, and then they'd be distracted by the fire bolts and
the roar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said that they closed the door, but these doors are giant stable doors, and I don't think that they actually would have been able to close those doors when they ran inside. So the doors are still open. You can see movement inside, and that's how you knew that those cave fishers were in there.
Oh, then maybe shoot the ground of in the stable. They might go like, where did that come from? And they might realize it came from outside.
Well, they definitely know that the party is out there, because remember, the guards saw you and ran inside the stables.
But I mean, it's still a distraction.
Yes, it is. So you've had some discussions about how to create a distraction. I'm not too sure what the intent is going to be going forward. But right now, what everyone needs to do is roll initiative.
7.
13.
18.
9.
18.
At the top of the round, Chris and Flash sneak off around the side of the stables. They disappear from sight, moving their requisite 30 feet in their stealth mode. Then, the guards get to go, and several crossbows twang, and bolts fire from the crossbows towards the four of you attempting to create a distraction. One crossbow at each of you. DJ, what's your armor class?
17.
Sasha, what's your armor class?
17.
Volpina, what's your armor class?
17.
Georgington is the only one hit by a crossbow, and he takes 6 points of damage. As well as those crossbows, suddenly there is a clacking sort of hiss and a long jet of white fluid comes shooting out from inside the stables, and it looks like spider web sort of filament, and it goes lashing out towards your 1, your 2, your 3, Georgington is 4, Sasha. And this long line of sticky filament shoots past you and almost touches you. It pins itself to the ground, and there is a long line of sticky sort of spider web type material all the way from within the stables past where you are. That was the cave fisher and the guard's turn. It is now Volpina's turn. Would you like me to describe what you can see?
Yes.
Volpina, you can see in the recesses of the stable a cave fisher glaring angrily at Sasha. It has a long amount of filament hanging from its mouth, and you can see 4 guards around the corners of the stable doors, 2 on one side, 2 on the other, sticking their heads out, trying to shoot. Now, if you would like to attack the guards, you have quite a bit of difficulty hitting them. But the cave fisher, you can absolutely hit with no issues with your longbow. You can also summon Maya for a bonus action to come forth. What would you like to do?
I'm going to summon Maya.
Maya leaps out with a growl. Do the growl.
Grrr.
Landing in front of you, she flexes her claws. You could roll initiative for Maya, please.
Why does Maya get initiative?
Maya has a 19. You've summoned Maya. What would you like to do?
Maya is going to run into the stable, and she's going to pounce on the spider.
Well, that's what Maya is going to do. What is Volpina going to do?
Volpina is going to see if she can shoot that same enemy that Maya is running to go pounce on.
Okay, the cave fisher? All right, shoot your bow at the cave fisher. You get to shoot your bow twice. So roll 2 20-sided dice. After Volpina, it will be Christopher's turn, followed by DJ.
A 14 and a 4.
So the 14 hits, the 4 does not, the 4 misses, but the 14 hits, and you get to roll your damage for your longbow. Do you remember what your longbow damage is? All right, roll it up.
10.
10 points of damage to the cave fisher. Good job. The other arrow shoots into the darkness and thunks into a big post of wood. All right, it is now Christopher's turn. Do you continue to sneak?
And just wondering, is there a back entrance to the stable?
You don't know yet. You made your way around the side of the stable, and you can see that the back of the stable is actually right up against the wall, the stone of the cavern side itself. However, you believe that there might be some sort of gap between the back wall of the cavern and the stable.
And the stable is wood, right?
Yes, it is.
So if me or Flash really needed to, we could smash part of the wall.
Yes, that would not be quiet, though. So you would probably attract the attention of some guards if you started smashing the wall. But there seems to be a smallish gap between the wall itself and the stable. You haven't got there yet. You're almost there. That was your turn. No one else sees you as you sneak around the side and the corner. It is now DJ's turn. DJ will be followed by Flash.
I'm going to use my crossbow and try to hit the scorpion spider.
Yeah, it's called a cave fisher.
Cave fisher.
Absolutely. So go ahead and fire your crossbow. You may actually fire your crossbow twice. So roll two d20s.
I got a natural 20.
Wow. What do we say when we roll a natural 20? To the roof?
The Order!
What? What did we yell? Let's do it again.
Zone.
Let's do it one more time.
The Lord's
I accidentally said order of the D.
Accidentally said.
And I don't know if Caitlin knew what to say at all. Did you know what to say?
I did.
And what was the other roll?
An 8.
That is also enough for you to hit the cave fisher. So now, what does your crossbow do for damage?
I need to roll 1d8 plus 3.
So you're going to actually roll 3d8 and add 6.
20.
Perfect. Well done. You shoot the cave fisher very horribly. Your two bolts, one of them a critical strike. Where do they hit this cave fisher?
One of them hits its face, and the other one hits one of its legs.
Great. Excellent. It cries out with a chittering bit of rage. Who would like to do the sound of the crying cave fisher? Okay, let's do some samples. So we've got one cave fisher here. What's it sound like? And we got one fake cave fisher here. What's it sound like? And this one cave fisher here goes... Excellent. Well, that cave fisher makes all of those sounds as it cries out in pain. All those sounds at once on 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Yeah, that's the sound it makes when it gets hit, which doesn't sound very good. Sounds full of anger and sadness. Flash, you are up, followed by Sasha.
I'm gonna just jump into the back of the stable, I think.
Chris points out that there is a gap between the wall and the stables that you might be able to make use of. As you both move over to it, you see that you might be able to squeeze into the stable itself, as you can see dimly into the interior of the stable. And you see a small form very nearby with a broom and a shovel, and he seems to be shoveling up icky, gross cave fisher poop. It smells horrible near where you are.
Can I make
the smell? Okay, what's the sound of the scraping? Very good, yes.
And its color is a kind of a dark gray, but there's blobs of black and
in the
blue.
Poop? Oh, that's really that's great color. My shoulders shook grossness when you said that. So that's what's happening inside. What would the two of you like to do?
I kind of like want to like, is there feathers?
Sure. You know what? Make a perception check.
5?
So I think it's a 10 total. So yes, I will tell you that when you look inside, you can see a shaft of light. There is a hole in the roof of the stable.
Oh.
If you were able to get on top of the stable, you might be able to climb down through that hole. The hole that you're looking through right now does not seem to be quite big enough to squeeze through.
So it might be hard to get the farmer up through a hole in the roof?
That's right. What I was going to say is that the hole that you're looking through is not big enough for you to fit through. But if you could somehow get Soren the farmer's attention, he is big enough to squeeze through that hole because he's just a little halfling. Mm. So I'll leave you with that to think about as it is now Sasha Kikian's turn. What would you like to do, Sasha?
You're going to taste the wrath of three tabaxis, a dragonborn, and a lot more stuff. And then I cast.
Okay, before you do that, can you please roll an intimidation check against the four guards as you intimidate them with your powerful statement?
It's not even meant.
Let's see how powerful it is. Not so scary. Not very scary, but at least it's commanding, and the rest of your group.
One of the guards goes like, "Oh, that's scary."
A little bit. He's not actually cowed by it. But what I will tell you is that while it doesn't scare the guards who are hiding with the cavefisher, it does inspire the rest of your group. So I will give Volpina and DJ
and Georgington.
I will give them inspiration. You are now feeling inspired. So that means your choosing. You can spend your inspiration to have advantage on a roll because DJ and Volpina are so inspired by Sasha's commanding words. And Georgington, too. With that, you may cast your spell.
And I have this ball of energy, and I say in the Tabaxian language, "Behold my firebolt."
All right, throw your firebolt at it, cast your spell. You roll your die to see if you hit. And what did you get?
19.
That's more than enough to hit. However, every shot that has happened so far from the longbow and the crossbow has hit this poor cavefisher, and the ichor of its blood drips onto the ground, and it has sort of like a glisten to it. When you shoot your firebolt at the cavefisher, it hits some of this dripping blood, which erupts in fire and flames, burning the inside of the cavefisher when you hit it. Please roll your damage. But you get to roll double damage.
Okay. Ouch, that would hurt.
And I have 2d10s.
So it's 4d10. And how much damage did you do with your roll? Is that 9, 8, 9, 3 on your 4d10s?
Yeah.
That is so much damage. The cavefisher, well, it dies. But how does it die?
So what happens is the firebolt, it like erupts, and you see some of its skeleton inside, and then that skeleton blows up, causing the cavefisher to cause like this miniature explosion.
Wow. Swirling around within the stables.
I think two of the guards get are like, "Ah!"
The cavefisher dies, but you can see in the background another cavefisher moving to take its place, and another cavefisher start to eat the remains of the burning cavefisher.
Cannibalism!
Sasha has ended the cavefisher's life and her turn. It is now Georgington's turn, and Georgington charges forward, and he says, "In the name of the light and the Lord's own!" And he'll charge up, and he'll try to get around the door to stab with his big long sword, his shield raised, at one of the four guards inside, and he'll attack him twice. And he'll hit the guard 2 times, and he'll kill the guard with his second slash. He cuts the femoral artery in the guard's leg, just on the outside of that leg plate, and he cuts it free, and the guard falls over, clutching a wound, out of combat. That is the end of the first round. The start of the second round will actually begin with the other 3 guards attacking Georgington. And none of them hit him. They all miss his armor class. His shield is raised. He's protecting himself. They all miss. The other cave fisher, though, shoots him with a strand of the sticky filament and hits. And he is trapped by this sticky filament as it locks him in place and he can't move. That was the cave fisher's turn, and another cave fisher launches a blast of this sticky spider's web filament at DJ and misses. Lands right at your feet. You can move around it and you're not covered or captured by all. That was the cave fisher and the guard's turn. It is now Maya's turn. After Maya will come Christopher. So what would you like to do, Maya?
Maya is going to go and see if she can pounce on one of the other cave fishers.
Roll up the attack from Maya. All right, that is definitely a hit, as you have rolled a natural 18.
Yes.
That is more than enough to hit a cave fisher. Now we will roll Maya's damage. And Maya's damage with her claws is a d6 plus 6. So while you roll that, we will move on to Flash and Christopher. What would you like to do?
Because the guards and the cave fishers, as far as we know, all of them are very distracted now because we have people inside the stable. So I'm gonna knock on the wall to try and get the farmer's attention.
All right, you'll attempt to get the farmer's attention. You're just gonna knock, though? Just knock on the wall?
I am actually going to quietly call his name.
Oh, okay, perfect. Why don't you roll a d20 to get his attention?
9.
That is not quite enough. Whispering his name does not beat his passive perception score. He does not hear what you're saying as he's working and doing the job that he's supposed to do. However, he's also scared, so he stopped doing what he was going to do. So you whispering his name does not get his attention.
But Will could also...
Right, yeah, wait, Flash can do something too in a moment. That was Chris's turn. It is now, so Volpina, how much damage did Maya do?
8.
8 damage to the cave fisher. It is now your turn, Volpina, followed by DJ. What would you like to do?
Volpina is going to shoot the cave fisher that Maya did not pounce on.
No, she didn't pounce on. Okay, perfect. Roll your 2d20s for your 2 shots. While you're rolling that up, what are you going to do, DJ?
I'm going to use my crossbow again and try and hit one of the guards. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. One of the guards has had to cross over. He's now in full view, and he can be shot by you. Roll that up while you roll up your damage. What did you get for hits?
I got a 22, and the other one is a 19.
Those are both hits. And what did you get for your attack with your crossbow?
I got a 14 and a 23.
Okay, the 23 hits, the 14 does not. So you get to roll your damage for your crossbow. So which one are you hitting? The one that Maya pounced on or the one that Volpina is shooting?
The one that Maya pounced on.
Perfect. All right, roll your damage. Let me know what you got. What did you get, Volpina?
I got a 4 and an 8.
So what does that all add up to? What's 4 plus 8 plus 10? And what did you get for damage?
7.
And what did you get, Volpina?
22.
So this one has also taken a whole bunch of damage. It's very hurt. So with that, the cave fisher is brutally injured. Where did you hit it, DJ?
On one of its legs again.
And where did you hit it, Volpina?
I hit it right on its back.
Oh my. And a whole bunch of blood is just horribly seeping from that wound.
On my turn, I would like to go and see if I can collect any of it.
Maybe do the collecting once the combat is done. I would very much recommend after the fight. So the one that you guys are attacking was the one that was eating the other cavefisher. It stops.
I said I was hitting one of the guards.
Oh, you were shooting a guard?
Yeah.
The guard in the middle? Sorry, I thought you were attacking the cavefisher.
No.
So we'll just rewind that for a brief second. So your attack kills that guard. He dies, clutching his chest, and falls over in the middle. He actually falls into one of the strands of sticky filament and gets caught there, and he just dangles lifelessly from it. There are now 2 guards left and 2 cave fishers. It is Flash's turn, followed by Sasha.
I'll just clap one time, and then I whisper your daughter.
Whispering did not work for Chris.
Maybe say his name.
Because I'm pretty sure, like the other guards and stuff are caught up in
combat. I'm going to say, what about your daughter?
He can't hear you if you're whispering, though.
No, I'm just going to say it in a peaceful voice.
Okay, he definitely doesn't hear you if you're just speaking in a peaceful voice. There's all of this commotion and sound and anger going on, and you see a whole bunch of action happening at the front of the stables. What are you guys going to do?
I don't know. This is...
You could try, like... saying loudly, Soren, come here.
All right, you try to yell. Both of you yell to him.
Soren, come here!
Perfect. You yell out. You don't even need to make a roll now. He definitely hears that. He turns and he sees your faces or something. He sees some sort of face near the corner and he goes, oh, who's there?
It's me, Christopher and Flash Golden Dragon. Come with us. We're here to rescue
Flash
you.
Flash Golden Dragon Swiggles.
Oh.
In an allergy.
Thank you so much again. He throws the shovel of poop on the ground. He throws the broom aside and he runs for the crack just as a cave fisher looms up in the darkness and shoots him with its sticky web.
Oh no.
And he's trapped. Huh, I'm stuck, he cries out.
We'll get you out of there. Just remain calm.
So what are you going to do?
I will fire my crossbow at the cave fisher.
Sure, you can do that. Flash, what would you like to do?
I'm going to try to get him out of the sticky.
You're going to try to get him out of the sticky stuff?
Perhaps he could reach his sword through and like get it out?
Sure. Chris, shoot your crossbow. Flash, make a strength athletics check. Did you hit the fisher?
Got a 16.
That's enough to hit the cave fisher. Roll your damage. You, what did you get for your attack on the web?
I got a 19.
You rolled a natural 19? That is more than enough. You cut the web as you stick your arm through. You manage to reach out with your long arms and the edge of your sword touches the filament and you cut through it and you free the farmer Soren from his confines so that he can get out. And what did you do for damage?
6 damage.
The farmer then proceeds to dash through and he climbs through the hole. He is in the middle of the hole when your guys' turn ends and we go to Georgington, who attacks another guard. And he misses, so he attacks him again and he misses again.
Isn't Georgington stuck?
Yeah, but he can still attack.
Oh.
And that is likely why Georgington missed both of his attacks on one of those guards. With that, it is the end of another round. We start off again where there are now 2 guards remaining. Both of them will attempt to shoot DJ. And one of them will hit and do 6 points of damage to DJ as they catch her in the upper arm where her breastplate ends. The other one does not sadly hit her. The cave fisher, one of them will turn and attack Maya. That one cave fisher misses Maya with both of his horrible claws, but the other cave fisher attacks Maya with its claws.
Yes.
And one of the claws hits, and it does 10 points of damage to Maya. She is brutally hurt as one of the claws catches her foreleg and cuts it brutally, and it almost hangs there and she can't really use it, and she lets out a yowl of pain. Does anybody want to do the yowl of pain? That's a good yowl of pain, hey?
Oh yeah.
All right, that was very believable. Okay, we only needed to hear it once. You're only one round away from more of the Gouldwick family guards arriving on the scene to fight you guys. So unless you can figure something out for this round and resolve your conflict, you may end up having to fight even longer. So I recommend you take a look for your special abilities and make use of them now to get yourselves through this fight that's coming up. The next turn here happens to be Maya herself.
Because of Maya getting hit, she is going to get back to me, and I am going to send her back into my necklace.
So she's not going to keep fighting?
No.
Okay, if you make her run away and climb back into your necklace, you're going to lose a valuable combatant in the fight because she does good damage with her attack. It's your call. You wanted to run away?
Yes.
Okay, she runs away. She disengages, which means that she finds a way to avoid the cave spiders. She disengages from the combat to the best of her abilities. She incurs an attack of opportunity from one of the guards who attacks her as she goes by, but he misses her with his short sword, and she comes back and leaps into your necklace. That's the end of Maya, and it is now your turn. What will Vulpina do?
Vulpina is going to shoot one of the guards.
Okay, she shoots one of the guards. Roll your strike. You get two attacks, though, so what are you going to do with the other one?
I'm
going to
shoot one guard twice.
Roll your dice.
A 20 and a 15.
Okay, they both hit, so roll 2d8 damage.
14.
Yeah, that is enough to kill one of the guards. He is mortally wounded, and he falls to the ground. So there is only one guard left, but there are cave fishers in the room. It is now Christopher's turn.
I am going to help pull the farmer through the gap.
Yes, you pull him through the gap, and he is now free. You could call that your move action. You could still attack if you would like to.
Sure. Once again, I will shoot the cave fisher with my crossbow.
Go for it. Shoot the cave fisher.
How can we do that?
Through the gap. He reaches through the gap and he shoots his crossbow at it.
12.
That is not enough to hit the cave fisher. It misses and sticks into one of the posts that holds the stable doors of the stable, or just hits one of the stable doors. That was Chris's turn. It is now DJ followed by Flash.
I'm going to use my crossbow and continue attacking the cavefisher that Maya was attacking.
Sure, go for it.
Two d20s?
Yeah, if you're attacking twice.
A 10 and a 17.
The 17 hits, the 10 does not. Roll your damage.
6.
All right, it gets hit. Just a little bit, cracks the carapace a bit. It doesn't cause it to bleed at all. It is only mildly hurt. That was DJ's turn. Flash, what would you like to do?
I would like to use a spell stalking grasp through that hole, and I would like to hit a cave fisher.
All right, you can shoot a cave fisher through the hole with your sword. Yes, Chris moves out of the way. You step in, you aim it, and you point. Roll your d20 to hit.
I'm just going to shoot it from my sword.
Yeah, you fired it from your sword. Roll your d20. Oh, that is definitely a hit. Roll your damage. Do you remember what the damage is?
A 2 and a 5.
That totals up to how much?
7.
All right, 7 damage is good, but not enough to really do much hurt to it, although it chitters with anger at the damage. It is now Sasha's turn.
So I'm going to use magic missile and fire it at one of the cave fishers.
Sure, okay, roll your damage. You don't have to roll to attack for magic missile. They are bolts that appear in your hand and unerringly strike.
What's the damage?
They are D4s. You should have written down, it should be written on your character sheet, magic missile.
I haven't written down all of my spells yet. Only the ones I use regularly. 9 damage.
That is your turn. It is now Georgington's turn. He is trapped. He uses his sword. He cuts himself free of the filament. And he says, "Behind you!" to the three of you.
I know why Georgington says that to us.
Why?
Because last game, Chari sent guards to go after us. And also she said to kill DJ.
You know why he says it?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't do anything?
I turn around.
Ah, perfect. Does anybody else turn around?
Me too. I kind of...
Yeah, Flash, you are over at the side of the stables, so you can't...
I kind of jump to see.
Yeah, you love to jump. Vulpina, do you turn and look?
Yes.
As you turn around, you see 10 of the household Gouldwick guards, the symbol of the Gouldwick family emblazoned on the leather of their studded leather chest piece. You see their short swords and short bows levied at you. They are only about 30 feet away, and behind them, standing tall, is Chris's ex-girlfriend, Chari, her hair pulled back in a severe looking ponytail, and she is holding aloft in one hand a cestus. And does anybody know what a cestus is? You do? Tell me what a cestus is then.
So I've heard that it's kind of like a scimitar.
I think you're thinking something else. What did you think it was, Will?
Kind of like a trampoline.
No, she's holding a trampoline in her hand.
What?
All right. So what a cestus is, and it's spelled C-E-S-T-U-S.
The cestus.
The cestus is, picture a big piece of metal that you can put your hand inside like a boxing glove. So you put your hand into a big piece of metal and it's got a big hard shell on the end of it. And you hold that piece of metal in your fist and you punch people with it. That's a cestus. It is a weapon that goes around all of your hand, probably down to your the middle of your forearm, and it's a big, heavy piece that you thump people with really
hard. It's like
hard.
A gauntlet?
Yeah, it's like a gauntlet, but you can't move it. Your hand is locked inside there, and it's used to hit people. And hers has a wicked-looking blade coming out one side of it. If she wants to stab people, she can. So that is a cestus, and she holds it aloft, and it glows and casts light all around her guards. And she says, "Which one of you is DJ?"
None of us.
All right, make your deception check. But furthermore, it is the top of the round. Maya would have had an action, but she has jumped back into your necklace. It is now Christopher's turn. Chris, you've pulled free Soren. You hear the commotion going on. The distraction has been perfect. There is, however, that cave fisher still inside, but you've gotten him free, and you three of you are now available to do something else if you want to. You, Soren, and Flash. What would you like to do, Chris?
I'd like to try to jump up onto the roof.
You're going to climb up onto the roof? You need to make a strength athletics check to climb up onto the roof.
I'm going to climb up onto the roof too.
Okay, and what are you going to do about Soren? Are you just going to leave him there?
Yeah, we probably shouldn't both climb up onto the roof.
Oh, that means I'll push Soren up and climb up to the roof.
I was thinking that maybe Flash could go with Soren and protect him because he's like he has lots of health.
You're not going to help him too?
I'm just going to stand up onto the roof and do this.
Sure, I'll go with Soren.
All right, you guys are all going to climb up onto the roof together?
Sure.
Okay, all right. You
we
have
can hoist Soren up
Sure,
as well.
You have Soren climb onto your back. What's your character's strength?
17.
More than strong enough to carry Soren with you. He's just a little halfling. He is like about the size of a 4 or 5 year old kid. And he's not very heavy.
Kind of like Will. But less heavy.
Less heavy than Will. So he climbs onto your back. You don't even feel him at all. Now roll your strength athletics check to climb up onto the roof.
And he's like 42.
Now you are also climbing up. Flash?
I'll help him up.
11.
That is enough to climb up onto the roof. Roll the dice, please. All right. What's 14 plus your athletics? I believe you are not skilled at athletics. So you just get to go 14 plus 3.
17.
That is enough for you to climb up on top of the roof as well. You both see the guards and Chari, but you see that they have not spotted you. They are just glaring at the four adventurers right there.
I also want to drop down on the roof so I'm harder to see.
Yeah, absolutely. They still didn't see you yet. So you climbed up on top of the roof and you drop down to all fours, or you drop down onto your belly, and you can see the conflict going on right now. That was both Flash and Chris's turn. It is now Volpina's turn. Volpina, what are you going to do?
Volpina is going to hit one of the guards that just appeared with her longbow.
Oh my. Turn and shoot a guard with your longbow. Now you get to attack twice. Are you going to shoot the same one twice, or are you going to shoot different ones?
I'm going to shoot the same one twice.
Okay, go for it. You hit both times, so roll your damage. You kill the guard, In fact, you kill two guards. The first arrow goes into a guard and he falls backwards, and the second arrow, which was going to also go into his throat, hits the guard directly behind him and kills him too. So two of the guards fall down dead right from your arrows.
How many guards are there?
There are 10 guards.
So eight left because two are dead.
Don't forget, there are still two other guards in the stables.
Oh, so now there are 10 left.
Your math is good. That was Vulpina's turn. It is now DJ's turn.
I walk up, starting to pull my greatsword out, and I say, "Sasha lied, and I am DJ."
All right. And what do you do?
And then I attack one of the guards with my greatsword.
Go for it. Roll your greatsword attack.
12.
That is not enough to hit the guard, but you get to attack a second time, so you can hit again. You miss again. You miss the guards twice, and Chari laughs at you. And she says, "You, Dragonborn, are no match for Drow warriors." That was DJ's turn. It is now Sasha's turn, followed by Georgington.
You know what, Chari? This is not just DJ's fight. This is also everyone's fight. Me, DJ, and the rest of our party. You are no match for our power. You shall fall at the hands of DJ's blade. I'm gonna cast Witch Bolt right at her.
Okay, cast Witch Bolt at her. Did you want to spend inspiration to have advantage?
Yeah, I have an inspiration
story. All right, erase that check mark, and you may roll 2d20 to hit her with Witch Bolt.
And I think of the time that our bard friend, Boris, inspired me, because that was from when Boris inspired me. I think of Boris' songs and how awesome Boris is, and then I do Witch Bolt.
You're going to make your ranged spell attack against the creature as a beam of crackling blue energy lances out from your fingers to hit Chari. What did you get?
2.
You miss.
Yep.
The witch bolt fires off into the distance, crackling, and Chari laughs even more as the dice are not your friends in this fight.
We need Vulpina up here.
That is too bad. Make sure you tick off that you've cast a second level spell and you have fewer left. It is now Georgington's turn. And Georgington will turn and he will attack one of the cave fishers now that he has freed himself. And he kills the cave fisher with those two blows. There are now only two cave fishers left. One that was being fought by Christopher and Flash, and the other that is in the middle of the entranceway, and it looks like it's about to charge out and attack you guys even more. That is the end of the round. It is the top of the round, and it is now the cave fisher's turn. So it will charge Georgington because Georgington is close enough. So it turns to attack Georgington and hits Georgington once, doing 10 points of damage to Georgington. And he cries out, "Oh, it burns!" as he is hit by the cave fisher. The other two guards also attack him. One of them hits him and does 6. And he says, "Oh, that hurts!"
and then one of them says, "Oh, the Lord's own is going to kill me."
What?
Now, it is Vulpina's turn. What would you like to do, Vulpina?
Vulpina is going to see if she can hit one of the cave fishers.
You're going to turn again and hit that remaining cave fisher that's fighting Georgington?
Yes.
All right, go for it. You've hit the cave fisher with both strikes. Roll your damage.
15.
All right, that cave fisher looks hurt. Then it looks like it is now bleeding on the floor of the stables as it's trying to fight its way free and attacking Georgington. It is now Chris's turn.
Chris is going to try to sneak across the roof so that he can fire an arrow down.
Sure.
At the guards.
Go ahead, fire an arrow down at the guards.
I'm going to shoot Chari.
Yep, this is you're going to shoot Chari. This is a sneak attack, so you get to roll. You're attacking from stealth, so you get to do your sneak attack damage. Roll your d20 to hit.
Still did the crossbow. 23.
That is a hit. Roll your damage.
9 damage
to Chari. And when you shoot, you reveal your presence to her. Because once you've attacked from stealth, everyone can see. So they see as you creep up to the side, you shoot her with your crossbow, and everyone looks up and they see the drow Kris kneeling on the roof of the stable, and Chari cries out, "Oh!" as she's hit. Where does your crossbow get her?
It hits her in the arm that she doesn't have the cestus on.
Perfect. It buries itself in the bicep of her arm, and she reaches out with the cestus to grasp at the wound, and she says, "Ah! Who? You? Kris?" And she freezes in place as all of the guards look up at you, and all of the guards turn and shoot at Kris with their bows.
Oh my gosh.
Please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die.
Six short bows are shot out into the night at Christopher as he stands illuminated on top of the...
Please don't die. Please don't die.
Stables.
I thought I was crouching down.
Sure. Crouching down on top of the stables. One has hit you. Another hits you. A third hits you. A fourth hits you. And a fifth hits you. All over your body as four crossbows go thunk, 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 thunk into Kris's body, doing 24 points of damage.
He's at 20 hit points.
And he has 20 hit points left.
If that happens again, I'll be dead.
It was a pretty lucky shot on my part. That was their turn. Chari points her cestus and rushes forward because currently DJ is in the mix with the guards, and she attacks you with her cestus. And she says, "You have taken from me everything that is valuable to my family!
Even your slaves. Burn!"
And she hits you with her cestus twice, doing 22 points of damage to you.
Good thing you have lots of health. I have 44 health, so that was a huge hit.
I'm at 36 hit points.
So she has rendered damage unto DJ as she hit DJ in the head with her cestus and then hit her in the arm. And DJ is going to write down the damage that she's taken.
I'm at 29 hit points.
All right, write down 29 hit points left below there. And had you taken any damage before this?
Yes.
Okay.
I took 6 damage before this.
You've taken a total of 28 points of damage then?
I've lost 28.
Perfect. All right. So that was Chari's turn. It is now DJ's turn.
I tried to hit Chari with my greatsword.
Mm-hmm.
21.
Wow. That's a pretty good hit. You hit Chari. Roll your damage.
15.
Okay. Do you have another attack, or is that just the one attack you're doing?
I'll try and hit one of the guards now.
Okay. Go for it. That's a hit. Roll your damage.
10.
He dies. You stab him. You're attacking Chari, and you see a guard has an open spot because he's trying to shoot Kris, and you just stab him in the throat, and he dies with a gurgle of blood. And then you continue to fight and continue to face and fight Chari, because it's now Flash's turn.
Flash will run back and then run and stab Chari in the eye.
Well, you cannot reach Chari in one turn to stab her in the eye. You are standing on the stables, 30 feet away from Chari. You can shoot her with shock and grasp if you wanted to, or you could do something like that. You could fire a ranged weapon if you've got a crossbow or something. You could do that.
I could use shock and grasp.
Then roll to hit with your d20. What did you get?
9... and a line under.
That is not enough. There seems to be a magical barrier around her that looks like armor. It glistens and glitters much the same way Sasha's does, and it doesn't, and her shocking grasp is blocked by that. That was Flash's turn. He also has appeared from cover. It is now Sasha's turn.
The magic that she's gonna cast is just like chromatic orb. She wants to cast something with chromatic orb, but it just turns out to be fire, straight fire. And it kind of looks like most of her anger is being put into this fire, and she's gonna throw it at Chari.
Okay, you're gonna attack Chari. You're not gonna try to kill the other cave fisher?
Okay, I'll try to kill the other cave fisher.
I mean, you saw what happened when fire hit the cave fisher before.
Okay.
And it's bleeding a whole bunch of alcoholic-looking blood. Whereas if you hit Chari, you might deflect. And already you missed her with Witch Bolt. So, okay. You turn, see that the cave fisher is bleeding heavily. And you know now that the cave fisher's blood seems to be flammable.
So there's like a pool of blood surrounding the cave fisher, and she just throws it at the cave fisher and is like, feel my wrath.
Excellent. Roll your hit. In fact, I'll give you advantage on this one because I liked your color and your choice.
22.
22 is enough to hit that cave fisher. Roll your damage. What is damage for chromatic orb?
3d8.
So please roll 6d8.
I can drop on my belly, make it harder for them to hit me.
26.
The cave fisher dies brutally. The flames eat the insides of the cave fisher, and it lets out a squeal, not unlike the squeal from before, but more like a kettle boiling as the insides steam escapes through all the plates of the crustacean's exoskeleton, and it crumples into a heap and dies. And when it does, Chari lets out a cry, says, stop! Chris, why are you attacking all of my beautiful pets? Why are you killing all of our guards? Why have you stolen all of our items? You don't even care about drow society.
Look, Chari, you're saying that I took all of your valuable items? You took those items first.
Very fair. The golden shroud was available and we took it. That's your own fault, Chris, or your mother's fault. But I'm in charge of the Gouldwick family, and everything you're doing is hurting me. Me!
I'm keeping my anger built up on my sheet.
All right, you're keeping your anger built up on your character sheet. That's fine.
She just keeps getting more angry.
All right, since that's the end of Sasha's turn, Chris and Chari have a bit of a conversational moment. It would be the cave fisher's turn, but there is only one cave fisher left. And Chris and Flash, you can hear it scuttling along the wall, trying to climb out the hole in the roof to fight you. But it can't get through yet. It's just moving and climbing. It is then the guard's turn, but because Chris and Chari are having a conversation, the guards do not attack unless they are directed to do so by Chari, and she seems intent to not fight at the moment and have a conversation.
Can I join into the conversation?
Absolutely. What did you want to say?
We were sent here to do what we were supposed to do. Take our friends back who you forced to be slaves. The reason we are fighting your guards and such is we want our friends back. And if you can't take that, then maybe you don't deserve to be the ruler.
Wow. Chari says, who are you, outsider, to speak to me such? Chris, what is going on? You left never to come back. You told me. And do you remember what you told her? All right, what did you tell her when you left? When you said, I am leaving this place and I'm never coming back. What did you tell your girlfriend?
We'll meet again someday, I promise.
And she says in response, after we have a little flashback, because we see Chris leaving. It's almost morning. The lights are about to come on in the column, and it's Chari and him having a tender moment, just the two of them. And he says that, and you can see in Chari's eyes how sad she is that her boyfriend is going away, and he's essentially breaking up with her. And she says, "This is what you meant?" And with that, we'll end the game session for today.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you, what kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into. Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the truth and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with a brand new episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes by checking them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We love a review on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter, Tavern_Tales. See y'all later.
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. Round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.